Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Last night, as you know, throughout the day, if you're listening to this station, a group were deported to Georgia on a chartered flight from Dublin, including three women and a child. And this was the first operation under a contract signed by the state last year to provide charter flights for deportations. Minister of State for Migration Colm Brophy said chartered deportation flights will form an important part of removing people who do not have a right to remain in the country, while migrant rights group Durris said increased deportations are a distraction from the need to ensure there is a fair international protection system. I'm joined now in studio by said Minister of State for Migration, Colm Brophy. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
The message to prospective migrants from Georgia, the likelihood is you'll be deported. I mean, that's what we heard from Minister Jim O'Callaghan today. What other countries are being examined for a similar type of message?
Well, the message to all people who come to our country is that you will actually receive a firm, a fair and an effective process where you can make your case whether you have a right to remain or not. And if you are deemed not to have a right to stay in the country, then you will be deported. And we want that message to be very clear. We want that message to be understood, that we believe in a firm, fair and effective system which safeguards the rights of people who have a genuine right to make a claim when they come to our country, but also makes it absolutely clear that the law of Ireland is very straightforward, that when you are served with a deportation notice, you are then illegally in the country and you will actually be deported.
Our but first not in option. All cases, as we learned today, about 1,200 people or so who have received deportation orders. We don't know where they are. Is that correct?
Well, what we have is a situation, and we're working actually to make sure that we have, when we do the reforms, which I want to bring into the system as a result of the Migration Pact, that we'll have a much more streamlined process. But at the moment, we have people who, yes, they've maybe left, most likely have left,
but we don't know they've left.
We have people who voluntarily deport. And we have people who have been deported. And it is very important, the first line, why we absolutely welcome today's decision or today's deportation flight. But the first port of call is always to say to people, voluntary deportation.
Yeah,
please leave.
Worked, though.
We haven't, I believe, had the level of success with it that we'd like to see. And therefore, putting this additional level of resource available is really important to actually have the ability to have a charter flight, which enables us to have a...
Of 32 people. I mean, it doesn't mean a whole hill of beans. It doesn't amount to a whole hill of beans in one sense.
No.
I mean, have we been too lenient, in your opinion?
I don't think it's a case that we've been too lenient. We had a situation probably coming out of COVID where we weren't actually able to engage in deportations in the way we had pre-COVID. So what we're now bringing in, I believe, is back to a balanced point, which we had prior to COVID and which we should always have, which is a mix of voluntary deportation, a mix of deportation on commercial flights, and also a mix, if needed, in the mix of a chartered flight.
And will that be happening more frequently now?
Well, I think the objective will be, yes, now that we have signed up for it and that we have put it in place, is to use it and to have the ability to use it if we need more frequently. And I think that that will always, though, be in the context of what is the most logical way of doing it. And that still remains voluntary. It still remains...
And what's the criteria for using a charter?
Well, I think we'll have a number of criteria. Obviously, each individual instance where we use a charter will be maybe slightly differently. But one of the things, obviously, is that you are in a position to have a number of people particularly going to a single country.
Okay, so that's it. I mean,
there's a number of criteria which will be looked at in terms of the mix of people involved and everything. But there is definitely
a
benefit.
Going, the charter could be used. I mean, it's quite expensive, over €100,000.
It is. It's by far and away compared to voluntary or compared to commercial and more expensive way of doing it, which is why it is not the first port of call. It'll always be the first port of call to try voluntary.
Yeah,
but
and maybe
still
track people as well. If you serve people with a deportation order, it kind of beggars belief in one sense. So you have 1,200 or 1,300 people who've been asked or given a deportation order. And the state, the government, doesn't know where they are. I mean, do you not have their names and contact details?
Well, what you have is a situation where obviously some people, and probably in most part, people have actually left the country, which is why we don't have contact with them anymore.
Yeah, you don't have their contact details.
No, if people have left the country, there's no longer an interaction.
You don't know if they've left or not.
But in most part, the probable belief is that people have left the country.
Okay, but you don't know that. I mean, what kind of details do you have on them?
Well, what we have, obviously, is what is done at the initial processing point. We have the engagement, which we had with them through the entire process that determined whether they could stay or not. We have, but if someone does
leave... But in terms of personal details,
if someone does leave, then it is difficult to know.
In terms of personal details, what do you have on them?
Well, when you come in, the state goes through a whole range of acquiring your personal details, because obviously that person is making a claim. Yes, that person is making a claim when they're giving their name, official documents, etc. So, you know, they have as much information as you can actually collate on that person, which enables them to have, by the way, a very, and I think that's important because it was alluded to earlier on, as if it wasn't the case, there is a very fair and balanced process that allows people to make a claim when they arrive in the country.
It seems inefficient in one sense.
Can I just be clear, it can be more efficient. Yeah. And so I will be, that's one of the areas that we'll work on.
22,000 almost international protection cases were pending at the end of 23 or so. What's the latest figure that you have on that?
Well, what we have had is we have had actually a reduction in the last couple of months. We have actually had a reduction in the number of people arriving in, and we have actually had a process where we're now processing more claims than, so we're clearing the backlog as well as at the same time processing. And what we will do on that is we will continue to do that. Now, that figure changes per day, so
it's a
variable figure. But we are actually making real progress in this area. But we will have, I believe, an enhanced capacity as a result of the changes we'll make coming out of the Migration Pact.
And we'll talk about that again quite soon. Minister of State for Migration, Colin Brophy of Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Cork.